You wrote Baby Likes to Rock It with Walt Richman.
I did.
What was the very first moment the light turned on about?
Well, I don't know that there's a moment. I'll throw in this that I virtually never even think about, so I know I haven't told it too much, but my best friend from childhood was named Donnie Keesey, K-E-E-S-E-E. We played in our first bands together, and we wrote songs, and we recorded together at 14 at Gene Sullivan Studio in Oklahoma City. And so he was my buddy our whole lives. He died about 6 months ago. He comes to my mind almost every day because we were best buddies. And I only mention him because those are the first songs I wrote, and they were really horrendous, you know. But he became an educated sort of feller and a preacher, got his doctorate, the doctor of ministry or something. But about this time, when I had the studio, he loved to draw parallels between the two of us. That's a childhood love kind of connection. So we're always talking, and I've got the studio, and I'm trying to write songs, and he's trying to be an educated whatever he's going to be. He's, I think, getting his master's at OSU. He's studying literature because he's a writer. Let's say his ultimate would be back then to write novels and stuff, which is way beyond me. All of that to say, he introduces me to a term called verisimilitude. I'd never heard it before. It may not be even exactly right, but the way I understood him to be telling me that day on the phone, and I think it's the way he understood it, he had just became aware of it from a class he was taking on literature. He's saying, instead of we went down the highway, make it real somehow. I went down Highway 51. It's just like a trick. It's a device to write with where you introduce a real thing to conjure up an image. You say, when is the first moment? I can tell you, I said, I'm going to give this a try. Because what do I care? You know, I'm making demos for a record deal that I don't think I'll get, and the record will never come out, and we're doing Freddie Fender, and we're doing some jingles and whatever. And I said, I'm going to give this a try. I start writing these lyrics. And, well, I don't know when to throw this in, but about that same time, I'd become friends with Walt, and he had played on the Freddie Fender thing and some jingles, and he was just coming around. And as it turns out, Walt's a genius. He came over wearing a straw hat that looked like, when we were kids, we call it plowed under. It just was, you know, here's Walt. Very disarming, the way he manifested his self or whatever. So he's coming around, and I've been doing these tractors thing, and he's playing on it. He likes it. He's showing me stuff, kind of like a teacher. Just general talking, and Ron's around some. Walt, at that time, was playing with Bonnie Raitt. And Walt came over. He was leaving at midnight. They were picking him up on the bus, or he had a late-night plane or something. He was leaving to go play with Bonnie. We were just trying to do stuff, and I said, well, let's do a really fast shuffle. When I say, let's do that, I don't want anybody to conjure up an image of, okay, we get the band together and we record a song. It's just Walt and I. These are the days of drum machines. Drum machines have roots with both Cale and Leon. But Leon, in some fashion, invented what we think of as the drum machine now, with an engineer kid at the time named Roger Lynn. There's one over there. It's Roger Lynn's machine. He heard Leon talk about it enough, he went away and built it. What I mean by a very fast shuffle is more like Freddie King's Hideaway or something. Shuffle, swing. Walt says, let's do one like this. The Tulsa thing, it's not like it's only Tulsa thing, but it's to play swing stuff against a straight beat. You know, it's not like I'm a professor, but it's kind of easy to explain, even to a non-musician, because a straight beat, think of Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, or a lot of songs from that day talk about straight eights or eight to the bar and stuff like that. And they mean ta 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 ta, and it's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And a shuffle switches those eight beats so that they're not equal anymore. They all get an equal percentage of the time. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, which is double of the bar, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And a swing starts giving more percentage to the odd beats. So you go 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so it goes, instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1 and 2 and 3 and like that, and it's swinging. Da ba da ba da ba da ba da, as opposed to bop 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 bop. Well, the tractor's deal, not an invention, but Walt was so fabulous at it, was playing swing stuff to a straight beat. Cha 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 de ba da de da ba da, where the drums are going da 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 da, the piano and a lot of other things are going di di o du ba da jaka, and it lays together really well, and it's at the heart of Chuck Berry and a lot of those things. So, long rambling answer to say, Walt says, let's do one like this. I put on the drum machine pretty fast, and he plays that piano part that became Baby Likes to Rock It. Then he left to go play with Bonnie Raitt. And it's just like a Chuck Berry kind of piano part. I don't suppose anybody thinks about Chuck Berry at all anymore. I don't know. But he's at the formation of rock and roll, as important to those records of Roll Over Beethoven and Johnny B. Goode and all those records, is the piano part as much as Chuck Berry. To the point the guy, I think, eventually sued him, going, well, listen, you know, you were playing in my band when you wrote these songs. Johnny Johnson was his name. So Chuck's playing ten on the chunka 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 chuck, and Johnny Johnson's going ba di di ba di di ba di di ba di all over the place on piano. It's very important. So Walt plays this sort of a Chuck Berry-ish song. You know, I say this, and I'll say it for the record, it's a little overstated, but Walt's the only genius I know from Tulsa. He did a lot for me in terms of instruction and just being around him. But anyway, Walt, aw, shucks me to death, playing this piano part, and goes plays with Bonnie. Next thing. Now, remember, verisimilitude. Throw in real names and real places and conjure up images. That's one. Walt plays this piano part. I say, let's play a fast shuffle, and he says, let's do one of these. And so it's just drum machine for time and a piano part. That's it. No, we got nothing else. No words, no melody. And he goes away. Three. So now we're kind of buddies. Again, I like to say co-conspirator, but it's just because I love that word. But we're now, we're into this thing. We're kind of buddies, I guess. So as a joke, he sends me a postcard of Samantha Fox, who was a pinup girl or something of that time. This would be 87, I suppose. And I get a postcard of Samantha Fox. Semi-racy, but no big deal. I pinned it up on the control room wall. Then I start carrying around a cassette of Walt's piano part, because I'm not really a co-writer like those Nashville guys get together and say, let's write a song, and they spend as much time as we spend here this morning, and they throw up ideas and throw out ideas, throw up, I think that was a Freudian slip, but they throw out ideas, and then they go to lunch, and then this afternoon they write with somebody else. That's co-writing. I always like to throw in Roger Miller's quote that I believe is true. They asked him about co-writing, and he said, it's like a cat having a kitten. It's best to crawl up under the porch and do it by yourself. So I love that. I kind of go with that, but, you know, I didn't co-write maybe because I never had anybody around. I don't know.